This episode is brought to you by Shopify. You hear that? That's the sound of another sale with Shopify, your go-to for selling everywhere, online, in-store, and even on social media. Shopify POS is like the central hub for your retail operation. From payments to inventory, it's all there. Got different gadgets? No worries. Shopify's hardware is adaptable, fitting in just how you do business. Start transforming your retail business with an incredible offer. A trial for just $1 per month at shopify.com/wondery, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/wondery. Take the leap and upgrade your point of sale solution with Shopify. Visit shopify.com/wondery and start your trial today.
If you're like me and can still recognize Mr. Brightside from the first note, and then can't resist screaming it at the top of your lungs, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. While multi-active cream can bring back the golden age of boy bands, it can de-stress your skin. Clarins Multi-Active Cream is available online now. Go to clarins.com/truecrime and get multi-active day and night cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/truecrime. With promo code TRUECRIME. Clarins.com/TRUECRIME. With promo code TRUECRIME.
Telling stories is my life's purpose, my true love. But sometimes the act of creation consumes me whole, which sounds exactly as fun as it feels. So once a year, I go on vacation to disconnect. Cold turkey. A while back, I tried out El Paraiso, this all-inclusive resort in Vieques, an island off of Puerto Rico. This place was White Lotus fancy, just what I needed. But stories have a way of following me, of calling out to me, like they know I'm jonesing. I was on a little boat getting a private tour of the coves near the resort. My skipper was this woman who worked at the hotel. Gray-streaked hair, sunbaked skin, old Ray-Bans. You could tell she'd seen it all. She was a little too blasé, actually. She zoomed past a breathtaking cove, and I asked her to slow down. I wanted to take a picture, but she sped up. Can't take you there. Hotel rules. The way she said it, I just knew there was a story there. Before I could stop myself, I asked, why? She sighed. Last man who went there never came back. Okay, Rodney, I said. Resist. Don't relapse. But of course, I blurted, what brought him out there? She spat, bitter. Love, or so he thought. Well, that was it. Come on, you know I had to hear this story. You're listening to Run Fool. I'm Rodney Barnes, and this is episode 18, The Mermaid. Let's start at the beginning, with a motorboat cutting its way through choppy water off the majestic cliffs of Navio. On the side of the boat, a logo for the El Paraiso Resort. Before the two people aboard, this was no pleasure cruise. It was a rescue mission. Gabby, a young resort employee, drove. She set her mouth in a firm line, hoping to hide her worry. Adam stood behind her, wild eyes scanning the sea until he cried, there! Another boat bobbed in a cove. A speedboat. Gabby headed for it, while Adam gripped his wedding ring and prayed his wife Anna was still on board. That her phone was dead, and that's why she'd gone radio silent. He prayed that she'd forgive him for letting her go alone. They'd come to El Paraiso for years, and on this trip, Anna wanted to explore beyond the five-star property. So Adam surprised her with a speedboat they could take to secluded beaches. But too many pina coladas last night made Adam hungover and grumpy that morning. So grumpy that a pissed off Anna went off on her own. Adam cursed. If he just sacrificed a bit of his comfort, this wouldn't be happening. Gabby pulled up beside the boat and Adam scrambled on. It wasn't big, so he knew instantly. Anna wasn't there. Still, he pulled up tarps and checked under seats, calling her name in vain, until he saw it. A streak of blood, leading over the railing and down the boat's side into the water. Adam leaned over the edge, ready to jump into the deep blue. But Gabby pulled him back. They fell to the deck, Gabby gripping Adam as he tried to break free. It was too dangerous to go in alone here, she said. They'd call the Coast Guard, they'd scour the land and sea, and they'd find his wife. It was a promise Gabby couldn't keep. Later, the Coast Guard concluded Adam's wife had drowned, though they never found a body. Something strange about the currents of Navajo Beach, they said. Things that sank there tended to stay sunk. Adam went home to Michigan, drowning in his own ocean of grief. He thought he'd never see Vieques again, until 3 years later, when he made a mistake, one that sent him rushing back to the island. Adam's limo pulled up to El Paraíso, trying to calm his nerves. When the driver opened the door, Adam was shocked. Gabby pulled him in for a hug. Gone was the tomboyish college girl who worked at the marina, who'd taken Adam and Anna out clubbing and snuck them weed. Now she sported a suit, an expensive haircut, and a name tag, manager of guest relations. Adam congratulated her. Gabby eyed him warmly. I wondered if you'd ever be back. Her gaze flitted to his hand. Adam fiddled with the wedding band he still wore. He explained he'd come to visit the spot where Anna vanished. Gabby asked to say a proper goodbye. Adam mumbled, something like that. With a somber smile, Gabby said the marina would prep a boat tomorrow. She'd cancel her meetings and go with him, if he wanted, of course. Adam shook his head. He had to do this alone. Adam steered his boat into the cove at Navajo Beach, taking in its eerie beauty. Steep cliffs surrounded the shore, caves dotting their surface. They looked like eyes, staring at Adam, waiting. He killed the motor, then walked to the railing. He touched his ring again. There was something hard he had to tell Anna. He opened his mouth, trying to find the words, when he heard a woman sing. A melody echoed from the cliffs, stirring up a million different emotions in Adam. First it sounded desperate and longing, then it shifted into something alluring and sensual. Entranced, he looked to the caves. Their dark maws glowed with blue light. Then the wind picked up, carrying the song across the water, closer and closer to him. Something rammed the boat. Adam stumbled and fell over into the water. He thrashed in the ocean, which swirled around him. The center of the eddy lit up with light, and a woman rose from the depths, wailing that hypnotic melody. She floated to Adam, arms outstretched. He knew he could swim away, but that felt impossible. As she embraced him, all Adam could hear, or see, or feel, was her song. Adam awoke and gasped in wonder. He was in a cave. Bioluminescent vines climbed the walls, softly pulsing with light. Little nooks held a collection of rusty bracelets, waterlogged passports, and gold doubloons. Like anything that had ever been lost at sea, had washed up here. A ray of golden light shone into the cave. Adam looked up to see it came from an opening high up on the rock wall. Through it, he glimpsed the sunset and realized he was inside the cliffs by the cove. He looked into a pool of water beside him. Far below, he saw shapes, people, maybe, floating round and round in the deep. A haunting aquatic ballet. Then he scrambled back because one shape floated up to break the surface and perch on the rocks. It was the woman who'd sung to him, but she wasn't exactly a woman. She was a mermaid. As in storybooks, her tail glistened with silver-blue scales. Her hair was iridescent, ornately braided with shells and seaweed. but her face was a pale blue-green, and her eyes inky black. There was something eerily inhuman about her, but she was all the more beautiful because of it. Adam wasn't sure what to do. Hell, he was pretty sure he was dreaming. So he waved, very awkwardly. "I'm Adam. Sorry, but what do you want from me?" The mermaid cocked her head, amused. "You may call me Kaya. And if a sailor floats into my cove and follows my song, he is usually seeking me." Adam's face fell. No, he was just there to say goodbye to his wife. Kaya nodded. Grief and yearning are part of the same song, like a melody and its harmony. No wonder your soul called out for me. Suddenly, she slithered up Adam's chest and ripped his shirt open. She whispered, her voice thick with passion, "Your season of pain has ended, sailor. Allow me the pleasure of healing you, of being your first lover since your wife passed." Kaya leaned in to kiss him, but Adam pushed her off. Tears filled his eyes as he admitted, "You're not the first." If Adam had looked at Kaya, he might have seen how bored she looked, annoyed even. But he stared at his reflection in the pool of water, confessing. A few weeks ago, on the third anniversary of his wife's death, he drank alone at a bar. The vodka flowed, the bartender was hot, and nature took its course. There was no connection, no spark. The only thing Adam felt was guilt. Adam told Kaya, "The next day I booked a flight here. I don't know why exactly. I felt this mad urge to be close to my wife again. To apologize for what happened, or I don't know." Kaya blinked her black eyes. "No, you came to punish yourself. Because you can't accept the idea that you deserve to love again. Even though I know she'd want you to." After a moment, Adam looked up, grateful and teary-eyed. "I needed to hear that. Thank you, Kaya." He touched her scaly hand. A spark of energy escaped his fingers and pulsed up Kaya's arm. They both gasped. Adam felt himself get weaker, or maybe lighter, like a burden had been lifted. Meanwhile, Kaya felt a rush. Her face flushed with a rosy tint that made her look more human. She eyed Adam, bewildered, then intrigued. "What was that?" Adam asked. "Could they talk more?" He hadn't felt this clarity in years, and he craved it. Kaya's eyes narrowed. She seemed to decide something. Then her face got sad. She said she was sorry, but she had to get back to her people. She couldn't survive on land for long, and they were from different worlds. This bond, it couldn't last. She dove into the dark pool. Adam felt his grief well up, and he knew the only cure would be to see Kaya again. He pulled the ring off his finger, and a grin tugged at his lips. He'd come back and prove this connection could last.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The next day, Adam docked his boat in the cove. He climbed the narrow path that snaked up the cliffs and tried to remember which cave opening led to Kaya's sanctuary. He'd just been there. But the memory was elusive, slipping away like a dream. He closed his eyes, willed the waves and the wind and the screeching gulls to fall quiet. Then he heard Kaya's song. echoing from the cave furthest away from him. Adam shook his head with a grin. Of course. A few minutes later, he stood at the entry, wiping sweat from his brow and trying to steady his breath. He was hoping to make a heroic entrance, but as soon as Adam took a triumphant step inside Kaya's cave, he slipped on a rock and fell off a ledge. He plummeted down, about to bash his head open on the rocks below, when Kaya shot up from the water and caught him in her arms. It was weird being held by her, but a good kind of weird. She was stronger than she looked. Kaya wasn't upset that Adam came back, just shocked. It was clear to him that no one had cared enough to really talk to Kaya. But he was different. Over the next few days, they spent hours getting to know each other. Well, Adam did most of the talking. First about his wife, then happier things. Like his job, his childhood, and wonders he'd seen in the human world that Kaya could only dream of. Every time they touched, Adam felt his soul grow lighter. And Kaya got more rosy-cheeked and giddy, drunk off her bond with this strange surface man. They were changing each other for the better. Goodbyes were the hardest. As soon as the sun set, Kaya sent Adam off. When he got back to the resort, he'd realize how tired he was. It was like a hangover or withdrawal. After day three, Adam shuffled past the empty hotel pool. He wanted to go to his room, but he was exhausted. Even the moon was too bright. He slipped on his Ray-Bans and stared at the pool. The lighting thrummed, soft blue, reminding him of Kaya's cave. Before he realized what he was doing, Adam stepped into the pool. He floated on his back, sunglasses on, staring at the stars and humming Kaya's song. He wondered what it would feel like to float with her and the other merfolk at the bottom of the grotto. He could practically hear her calling his name. Then he realized someone was calling. He looked to the pool's edge to see Gabby, the manager he was friendly with. She asked, "Are you okay?" Adam lifted his glasses and winked. He was perfecto. Gabby frowned. "The boys at the marina say you take the boat to the cove every day. When you get back, you're out of it, paler than ever. Weird for someone spending his days in the sun." Adam let his sunglasses fall over his eyes. His mood darkened. "You're spying on me?" Gabby stammered. She cared about his well-being, like the rest of the staff, of course. They were all so devastated when his wife died and so happy to see him back. Adam raised an eyebrow, but not so happy to see me happy. Gabby looked around. Her voice got low and urgent. "Adam, there are things beyond the walls of this resort that employees can't discuss. Ancient terrible things our abuelos warned us about. I heard the melody you were humming, and I think you've met one of them. Whatever you're getting out of it, trust me, she's getting more. I hope you'll spend your last night right here with us, where it's safe." Adam's face twisted in a sneer. "Get off my back, Gabby, and get a life while you're at it." Gabby flinched, then walked off. Adam plunged his face in the pool and let out a bubbly scream of frustration. God, Gabby was a pain. The way she hovered was so draining. Then he pulled his head out of the water, remembering something she'd said. Tomorrow was his last night. He'd forgotten. It would be his last chance to see Kaya. Unless... When Adam visited Kaya the next day, it wasn't for deep talks or slow kisses. He was there to make a plan. He paced around her cave, manic. "Isn't there like a sea witch who could turn you human? A spell? Like in a movie?" Kaya frowned. "What is a movie?" Adam grunted. "Something awesome I'd love to show you. But I can't. There's gotta be a way to get you out of here." Kaya shook her head. She couldn't leave her people, and this island was her home. Adam bargained. "Fine, I'll come back. I'll visit every month. But what about tonight? Can't you leave this cave to see my world?" "Kaya, I'd do anything." "Stop," Kaya yelled with jittery rage. This is too much." Adam's face fell. Did she not want this? Kaya sighed. "I do. And there is a spell. But to walk the land, I need to borrow your essence, your humanity. It's a painful sacrifice." With no hesitation, Adam nodded. "Love is sacrifice. Let's do it." Hope brimmed in Kaya's eyes, and she kissed him. It felt incredible, until his insides started to burn, like acid ripping through his veins. Every instinct told him to break free. But Adam held on tighter and kissed her harder. the pain would be worth the pleasure. That night, Adam stood outside El Paraíso's nicest beach restaurant. He checked a mirror on the wall to smooth his linen shirt, then did a double take. There was a gray streak in his brown hair and crow's feet around his eyes. Kaya wasn't kidding about the spell's toll, but it would be worth it, right? Adam? Hearing his name, he turned and gasped. Kaya walked up from the shore. Yes, walked. On human legs. Wearing a silver-blue dress that sparkled like her scales used to. Her eyes were brown, not inky black, and her hair was a crown of curls. She was glowing. Adam knew his sacrifice was definitely worth it. Adam and Kaya sat at a table with the nicest view. Not a beach view, though. Kaya was sick of water. She wanted to sit in the middle of the room and take humanity in. The waiters rushing by reminded her of sharks cutting through the waves. The screaming kids running around were just like a school of hyperactive guppies. And the tipsy old grandpas who stared at her with foggy interest? Old Randy Sea Turtles. When Adam poked her and handed her a glass of water, Kaya broke from her daze and recoiled. No, I'm sorry. If any water spills on me, the spell wears off. I wouldn't want to trip anyone with my tail or scare anyone to death. Adam laughed. Ah, so it's splash rules. Got it. Kaya looked confused. Adam nuzzled her cheek. It's a mermaid movie. We'll watch it later in my room. He leaned in to kiss her when he heard a chair creak. They turned to face Gabby. Taking a seat at their table, her face ashen. Adam didn't know what to say, but Kaya put her hand out. I'm Kaya. Gabby ignored the gesture. She spoke in a tone so polite that nobody around her would guess she was upset. But Adam heard the fury beneath her facade. Oh, is that what you're calling yourself now? I Kaya? Kaya looked to Adam, confused. Adam hissed at Gabby. What was she doing? Gabby said it was simple. She was here to remove Kaya without causing a scene. She smiled, icily professional. You're bad for business and worse for my friend. You're not welcome here, even if you do have legs now. Scared, Kaya asked Adam if she should go. He squeezed her shoulders and told her it was all right. Gabby was clueless. Gabby scoffed. Adam, you've aged a decade and a night. This isn't love. You're addicted to each other, and she's using you up. Gabby couldn't help slamming the table in anger. Adam squared his jaw. Gabby, if you don't leave us alone, I'll have your ass fired. Whatever you think you know about Kaya or me, doesn't matter. To everyone else, we look like a couple in love. You look like a stalker who's ruining our night. Gabby took a deep breath. Then I guess everyone has to see the truth. She stood, grabbed the water decanter on the table, and splashed it all over Kaya. The water hit Kaya and she screamed. Her eyes went black and her voice echoed and warped, multiplying like a shrieking chorus. Guests stood in alarm. But the real panic started when Kaya bucked against the table and broke it in half. Her muscular tail ripped through the wreckage, flailing wildly. People scrambled out of the restaurant, trampling each other on the way. Hotel security rushed in, but they fell back when they saw the horror that awaited them. A monster had come to paradise, and all Adam could do was watch. He froze at the sight of Kaya, writhing on the ground, gasping for air as scales sprouted across her skin, bursting like blisters. Gabby, on the other hand, wasn't frozen. She grabbed a steak knife from the table and plunged it into Kaya's tail. Kaya screeched, trying to get away. Then she stopped, growled with hunger, and lunged up to latch her lips on Gabby's. There was an awful sucking sound, and in seconds, Gabby aged 30 years. Kaya was draining her life away, and Adam had to stop her before she did something unforgivable. He tackled Kaya and ripped her off Gabby. Kaya's body jerked, crackling with energy as it rearranged itself. Her tail ripped in half, and she staggered up on misshapen legs. She shot Adam a betrayed look, her eyes weeping inky tears. Then she tripped towards the beach. Adam moved to follow, but he felt a death grip on his wrist. Gabby shaking her head. No. Adam felt anger and pity. Why didn't you just leave me alone? Gabby stroked his hand with too much tenderness. She croaked. Why do you think? Adam gently pulled her hand off his wrist and told her he was sorry. Then he ran after Kaya. His wild eyes searched the shore, but he couldn't find her. He'd lost one love to the ocean. It couldn't happen again. Adam stumbled into Kaya's cave, calling her name. All he heard was her voice echoing. He scrambled to the pool of water, squinted and saw those figures floating in circles at the bottom. Kaya's people. Her world. The one he'd ventured into to get her back. Adam dove into the pool. He didn't know how long he'd be able to hold his breath or how he'd explain what he wanted to the other merfolk. But as he delved deeper, he realized he wouldn't have to. Because those figures swirling down there, they weren't merfolk. They were bodies, shriveled up like someone had sucked the life out of them. The scariest thing about the husk was their smiles. Each corpse had a rictus grin, like they'd died in utter bliss. Adam got caught in a current that brought him into the swirling mass of victims. He rammed against a Taino tribesman, a sailor, a pirate, a man in a Coast Guard uniform, even a woman who looked like his wife. Adam screamed. Foul water invaded his throat. He clawed upward, limbs kicking through the woman-shaped husk until he tore her apart and broke free from current. He surfaced in the cave. Kaya sat at the edge of the pool, her torso and tail streaked with ink-black tears. But Adam had no sympathy. He leapt out of the water, furious. Were all those bodies down there all her victims? Or did other merfolk do this? Kaya shook her head, her eyes dull. There are no others. Only me and the curse of my hunger. Adam got quieter. Then why not just kill me? Why make me fall for you? Kaya shrugged. She'd meant to seduce Adam and drain him the day they met. But he surprised her. He didn't give it up fast. Like the drunk pirates who once sailed these shores, he made her work for it. Made her listen till a spark lit inside her. A rush she'd never felt before. So she played coy to make him pursue her. To draw out the seduction and wring him dry. But somewhere along the way, she'd stop pretending. Adam's eyes widened with hope. So you do love me? Kaya burst into a rant. I don't know. I feel better when you're around, but I'm terrified of what happens when you go. I pity you for letting me control you, but I'm not sure I'm in control either. I want a bit of you every day, forever, but I consume you whole and die happy right now. Is that love, Adam? Why would anyone choose to feel this? Does it even matter when your world wants me dead? Adam took her hand and promised they'd make their own world in this cave. She could drain a little of him every day if she gave him a chance to recover. He'd feed her as long as he could. He didn't mind the sacrifice. Adam wrapped his arms around her and asked, "Could you love me like that?" Kaya stroked his cheek. "I could." Then her eyes turned black. "But I'm just so hungry." Kaya clamped her lips over Adam's. The screams echoed in her mouth as she drained him whole. In seconds, he was a husk. And Kaya was delirious with energy and vitality. She dove into the pool with Adam's remains, twirling around with him. Then she let his body drop. Down, down, down. Until it joined the other husks in their ballet of death. Maybe Kaya was sloppy, or maybe it was a kindness, but Adam wasn't fully dead. He had just enough life left to look up at Kaya, swimming and singing her song again. His shriveled mouth parted in a soft grin. He'd done that. Kaya was happy, full of love, and totally satisfied, at least for now. When the skipper finished her tale, she took her sunglasses off to wipe away a tear. I noticed that her eyes seemed younger than her weathered face. That's when it clicked. I put a hand on her shoulder. "Gabby, did you ever try to find him?" She shook her head. Adam loved that monster, and it doomed him. I loved Adam, but I won't make the same mistake. I sacrificed a lot, years of my life gone in seconds, to show him I cared. It didn't matter. So I quit love before it was too late. I thought about her words, tried to make myself feel less sad by cobbling a lesson out of them. Something like, there's a time to chase love and a time to let it go. Or, find out more about your local homicidal mermaid before you invite her up for surf and turf. But honestly, I got distracted. See, I swear, I heard singing, calling out to me from the cove, beckoning me into a story I might not survive. Until Gabby tapped my shoulder and handed me a set of noise-canceling headphones. I thanked her. She shook her head, then promised me she'd get me back to the hotel, safe and sound.
Run Fool is a production of Ballin Studios, Campside Media, and Atwell Media. It is hosted and executive produced by me, Rodney Barnes. This episode was written by Amin Osman and produced by Abakar Adan and Lee Mengistu. Editing by Matt Scher. It was also sound designed and mixed by Kevin Seaman. Creature vocalization by Terry Cashburn and Colette Anderson. And artwork by Jessica Clogston Kiner. Production support by Jeremy Bond and Cole Lacasio. Special thanks to Lindsay Kilbride. Special thanks to our operations team, Doug Slaywin, Ashley Warren, Sabina Mara, and Destiny Dingle. Executive producers at Ballin Studios are Mr. Ballin, Nick Witters, and Zach Levitt. Executive producers at Atwell Media are Will Malnati and Rosie Guerin. Executive producers at Campside Media are Matt Scher, Josh Dean, Vanessa Gregoriadis, and Adam Hoff. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.